Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. And today I am very excited to start a new series with you, and I'm going to be teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. For those of you who've watched my program a lot, I've talked a lot about this balance between grace and faith. I've even had a book on it in the past. But we just came out with this brand new book, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. It's our first hardback edition that we've done. And the reason that my staff decided to put this out in a hardback edition is because in the same way that I've said that, you know, spirit, soul, and body, that teaching on that is like somebody stuck a key in my brain and unlocked it, and that's what really is kind of the foundation of everything that God has taught me. Well, one of the revelations that came out of understanding who we are in the Spirit and our position in Christ is my understanding of the grace of God and then the balance between grace and faith, I consider to be one of the most important things to minister to the body of Christ today. It seems like most people are either in the faith camp or in the grace camp. It's like people will get a truth about either faith or grace, and they will try and emphasize that, and they will major on that. But let me make a radical statement here. Some of you may think this is over the top, but I have thought about this long and hard, and I believe it to be accurate. That all error is one truth taken to an extreme or at the expense or exclusion of other truths. Now, I hope you understood that. All error is a truth that's out of balance, a truth taken to the exclusion of other truths. And I believe that when you take grace or you take faith and you emphasize one or the other out of balance, that it becomes error. And for instance, I could use this example that sodium is a poison. If you ingest enough sodium in sufficient quantities, it'll kill you. Chloride is poison. If you take enough of that in sufficient quantities, it'll kill you. So both sodium and chloride are poisons. But you know, if you mix sodium and chloride together, it makes salt and you'll die without it. And so, in a sense, you could say that grace, just by itself, if all you do is focus on the grace of God and emphasize that and don't understand the proper relation with faith, it's poison. Or if you emphasize faith and talk about that to the exclusion of not understanding how grace is a response to God's, faith is a response to God's grace. If you don't mix these together properly, it's poisonous. You have to have them in the right quantities. And here's another way of saying what I'm trying to get to. That is that grace is God's part. Faith is your part. Now, this is really important that you understand this because I have people come to me all of the time and they may use different terminology, but basically what they're saying is, what do I need to do? What's my part? I mean, I'm praying, I'm doing all of these things. How come God hasn't moved? And there is a confusion in most people's lives about what is God's part? What's God's part? How much is up to God? How much is the grace of God? How much is up to us to believe and receive? And most people do not have this worked out. And as we go through this teaching, I'm going to be sharing with you a lot of examples of this, and I think that you'll immediately relate to this. Most of the things that I'm going to be teaching as we go through this series are things that I've learned the hard way by hard knocks. And just a real quick background on this, that I had this encounter with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968, and I understood that God loved me completely separate from any worth or goodness in my life. So I instantly had a revelation of grace, and I knew that God was good and He loved me because He was good, not because I was good. I mean, I knew that. But then that led to a kind of a feeling that, well, then it's just all up to God. And basically, I don't have anything to do with it. And I begin to realize that, no, there's things that I have to do in order to appropriate the grace of God and make it work in my life. And so I was in this struggle of, God, what do I need to do? You've revealed yourself to me. You've shown me your goodness. You've shown me that you have a purpose for my life. And so I see that there's a lot of things you want to do in my life. What do I need to do? How do I get from here to there? And I have learned a lot of things along the way that has made a huge difference in my life. And I really believe that this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith is going to make a tremendous influence on you. I've had a number of people, one guy who is our media buyer, and he's been a part of many large ministries, and of course he buys, I forget, over $40 or $50 million worth of television airtime for different ministers. And he's heard me minister on this, and in his estimation, and again, I say that he's been around a lot of these ministers, he says this is the thing, in his estimation, that positions my ministry into a place to where it could really do some good in the body of Christ, because not very many people have this balance. Again, most people are either emphasizing that it's all up to God, or they'll emphasize that it's all up to you. They'll either talk about the grace of God, or they'll emphasize what we have to do and how we have to operate in faith. But seldom do you see the proper combination of these two. So this is what this whole series is going to be about. And these are some of the most important things that God has ever taught me. Now, again, if you watch this program, I say that about everything God teaches me. Everything I teach is nearly, this is one of the most important things. But I don't teach a lot of fluff. I don't go into things that don't have practical applications. I just deal with really basic things. And this is one of the most basic, fundamental things that God has shown me. I think it's going to make a huge difference. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. This verse, I'm breaking right into the midst of some things. I wished I had time to put all of this in context. I will be coming back to these verses and talking from Ephesians chapter 1. And we are going to, as we go through this series, put it in more context. But let me just go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, that is a familiar passage of Scripture, and sometimes you can become so familiar with the Scripture that you don't really know what it says. You glaze over it thinking, oh, I've heard this before. But now think about this. It says, by grace are ye saved through faith. This is talking about a combination of those two. You can't just emphasize that you're saved by grace. Now, to be totally honest with the context here, if you were to back up into verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in sins," this is talking about God has quickened us together with Christ, and then in parentheses at the end of that verse, "by grace ye are saved." So in the context, I'm not saying that it's totally wrong to say that you're saved by grace or that you're saved by faith. It depends on what emphasis you're making. If you're talking to a person who's thinking that they have to earn the favor of God and that they are trusting their own goodness and they think that they're going to be saved because they've lived a holy life, then it wouldn't be wrong to tell that person, no, you're saved by the grace of God, because it says that up here in this fifth verse. But to be technical, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you aren't saved by grace alone. You are saved by grace, that's God's part, through faith, that's your part. You have to respond to what God has done by grace. Grace alone doesn't save you, because, look at this verse over in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now, if grace alone saved you, and again, grace is talking about what God has done. I'll get into more definition of this as we go through it. But if you were just saved by what God has done, well, the grace of God is the same towards every single person. This is what it says. "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared," or "it has come unto every single person." You know, grace is what God has done for us, independent of us. And if you stop and think about this, when God sent Jesus to this earth And it says in John chapter 1 that we beheld the Father full of grace and truth. Grace came by Jesus. And so God's grace was extended towards humanity when Jesus came to the earth. And that was 2,000 years ago, before you and I were born, before you and I had ever sinned, before we existed. God's grace came to us 2,000 years ago. God, through His foreknowledge, saw that we were going to need salvation, and He paid for our sins 2,000 years ago before you and I had ever committed any of those sins. So the significance of this is that, see, God's grace is independent of us. You and I didn't even exist when grace came to this earth. God made provision for our sins. Before we had ever sinned, God had already forgiven us of our sins. He had already paid for our sins through Jesus. So grace is something that God does prior to our need. It's independent of us. One of the main points I'm trying to get across is that, see, God doesn't look at you and see your desperate situation and then respond to you. God, in His divinity, was able to anticipate every problem that you would ever have. And by grace, He provided the solution before you ever had the problem. That's grace. Grace is independent of you. And grace is something that came 2,000 years ago, and it is something that is universal and it's consistent towards all men. Now, I'm going to be amplifying on this and making a lot of specific applications, but it's really important that you understand this, that grace is independent of you. It's something that God does for you, independent of you. It happened over 2,000 years ago when God sent His Son to this earth and provided for all of our needs, not only the forgiveness of our sins, but the healing of our body, our prosperity, our joy, our peace. Everything that you will ever need was provided by God's grace 2,000 years ago before you had the need, independent of you. It has nothing to do with you, and it is consistent towards every single person in the universe. Now, that is significant. God is not responding to us. And this is a concept that a lot of people do not have about God. They think that the reason one person is so blessed is because, boy, they must be living holy and God really is pleased with them. And so God is just doing something special for them. You will hear people all of the time say, well, why did God heal this person and not heal me? Is God angry at me? Is God mad at me? And sad thing is, religion will jump right on that bandwagon and say, sure, it's because you've got sin in your life and God won't bless you. God won't answer your prayer. God won't move in your life if you aren't this and that. And see what that does, that is it completely ignoring the grace of God. The grace of God is something that is independent of us prior to our need, and it is universal towards every single person. Adolf Hitler had the grace of God come to him with the forgiveness of his sins. Before Hitler murdered millions and millions of Jews and plunged the entire world into a world war, and before any of the things that he ever did you know that Jesus had already died to pay for his sins? He suffered the punishment that Adolf Hitler should have suffered, and Hitler had his sins forgiven. Man, I'm saying some things here that I know are just shocking people. And, you know, I was recently talking to a man, and I was telling some stories about some things that have happened to me, people that have done terrible, terrible things to me. And I just made the comment that my wife and I forgave them even before they asked for forgiveness. And this man said, I would have never forgiven them. He said, I would have killed them. And I mean, he was a tough guy. He was a rough old guy. And I started talking to him and I said, you know, that's like you taking poison because you want to hurt this person. Your unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person. It poisons you. And I began to start talking to him about forgiveness. His wife jumped in and said, and see, that's what I was telling you about Carol. I don't know what the situation was. He didn't share it with me. But he's got unforgiveness towards somebody, apparently a family member, and it's just poisoning this guy. And the point that I'm making is, see, that I was talking about that I forgave him. and that I had let these things go. God has forgiven us, and some people just cannot deal with this. They think Hitler will never be forgiven. Well, his sins were paid for, but see, it's not grace alone that saves, because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Hitler was a man. God's grace came to him. The Lord made provision for his sins. Hitler could have been saved. He could have been forgiven of all of the terrible things that he did. But grace alone doesn't say. Go back again to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." See, grace is what God does. God made the provision for every one of us to be forgiven and completely restored and have all of the fullness and the abundance of God. But you have to respond positively to what God has done, and you have to put faith in what He's done. And until you put faith with God's grace, grace doesn't save you. So here's my point. You are saved by a combination of grace, what God has done, plus faith. That's your positive response to what God has done. You've got to mix these two things together. And if all you do is start emphasizing that, oh, it's just totally up to the grace of God, that God by grace has paid for the sins of the whole world, well, then that leads people into error, incorrect believing and preaching that they say, well, God by grace has paid for the sins of the whole world. And so they come to extremes. I've actually heard people just take this to its logical conclusion. If you don't factor in that we have to respond by faith and receive this, I have actually heard people say that even Satan and all of the demons are going to someday be reconciled to God, because they take about God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, and they only emphasize the goodness and the mercy of God, and they don't take the scriptures like in the book of Revelations, where it shows God's wrath coming upon Satan and the beast and the false prophet and throwing them in a lake of fire where they will be tormented from the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And they don't focus on those things. They don't talk about the justice and the judgment of God. And all they do is emphasize the grace of God. And if all you do is focus on that and deliberately forget that we have a part to play and that we have to respond, then it can lead you into, there are churches that actually are called the church, I forgot the exact name, but it was something about the Church of Satan. And it is based on scripture that God is going to reconcile all things unto Himself, and they just intentionally ignore the other scriptures that balance that out. And they are teaching that even Satan is going to be reconciled, and that Satan is basically accomplishing God's will. He's like the mad dog that God has on a leash, and He turns him loose every once in a while to bring punishment and judgment. And so they actually have embraced Satan, and they are trying to use scriptures to worship Satan and to embrace Satan and believe that ultimately everybody, even hell, is going to be reconciled to God. Now, I think that most of you will recognize that that's wrong. You would reject that. But I'm saying that, things like that come because a person only emphasizes the grace of God. Then there's an error on the other side, where people only emphasize faith, which is our part. And they put so much emphasis on what we have to do, and you have to believe God, and you need to study, and you need to go to church, and you need to pay your tithes, and unless you're living holy, unless you do this. And what that does, that is out of balance too. You know, out where I live, we have dirt roads, and there are ditches for drainage on both sides of the road. And we have snow out where I live, and I have literally seen this a number of times, that somebody's going around the curve, they begin to slide, and there's a ditch over there. And so in an effort to avoid that ditch, they will overcorrect. They'll turn their wheel so violently that they hit the ditch on the other side of the road. You know what? There's a ditch on both sides of the road. It's not a matter of just going to one extreme or the other. If you want to get where you want to go, you've got to learn how to go down the middle. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. There are truths that look like they're opposite truths. And many times people will only just take one side and emphasize this, but everything in the Word of God is there to balance it out, and you've got to avoid both extremes. You know, there was a man in the body of Christ back, I forget, 30-something years ago. Maybe it's been longer than that. that wrote a book entitled The Pendulum, As the Pendulum Swings. And on the cover of the book was like a pendulum, and it had it somebody pulling it back, and then it showed this pendulum swinging. And of course, where the pendulum wants to go, center, is right in the middle. But the tendency is, if something has been out of balance over here, the tendency is to go to the other extreme. And if, say, for instance, a person has overemphasized faith and talked about what you've got to do, well, a person who has seen the abuse of that and has come under the frustration and the legalism and the condemnation that goes with an extreme view of faith, well, then they will swing to the opposite extreme, and they will just emphasize, oh, it's just totally up to the grace of God. And I used to think that it was me that was making everything happen. And they will go to the other extreme, to where I don't have anything to do with it. It's just totally up to God. It's all up to God. Well, see, both of those are extremes. Both of those are abuses. What you've got to do is not overreact to an abuse that you've seen or that you've experienced. You've got to come back to the center of this. And it's only by putting grace and faith in their proper balance that you really come up with the formula that releases the supernatural power of God. Grace alone will kill you. Faith alone will kill you. The abuse of grace is passiveness and an extreme sovereignty of God, to where you don't believe that you have anything to do with anything. It's just all up to God. And so therefore you blame God for every tragedy and every single thing that happens. That's the abuse of grace. The abuse of faith, on the other hand, is making you the one who's making everything happen. It puts all of the burden, all of the responsibility upon you. It leads you into legalism. It leads you into frustration. It will lead you into condemnation. Both of those things by themselves have abuses and side effects that you don't want. But if you could put grace and faith together in their proper combination and understand what is God's part and what is your part, and if you could respond properly and not try and get God to do things that He told you to do, but then on the other hand, for you not to try and do things that are totally up to God. You need to recognize that it's not your responsibility. When you can understand this and combine this, put it together in its proper combination, what it does, it releases the supernatural power of God in your life in a powerful way. And you know, this is exactly what's happened to me. Again, my testimony, I had been raised pretty much in a legalistic thing that emphasized what we must do. I experienced the grace of God, and all of a sudden I knew that it wasn't what I was doing. It was all up to God. But how did I harmonize these two? And I've been in both of those ditches. I've been to these extremes. And as I've studied the Word, I'm going to be sharing things with you as we go through this teaching that I think are going to help you. They've helped me tremendously. This is one of the most important things that God has ever shown me. And this is going to make a huge difference in your life. So I'd like to encourage you to please go to the effort of watching these television programs. They're going to help you. And also, we have this brand new book. I'm going to let my announcer give you all the details, but I got this brand new book. It's a hardback edition of Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. We have a study guide that I think is over 300 pages that goes through this. And then we have a CD set, a DVD set that was filmed live at one of my Gospel Truth seminars, and then a DVD set that is live from these television programs. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you that information about how to get all of these materials, and I ask you to call or write today.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA23C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Once again, let me just mention that this is a brand new book that I have out entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. Now, I had a book out on grace and faith. Actually, this is the very first book I ever put out, but this is an expanded version of it. The old version was a very small one, and I have added to this a teaching on our Sabbath rest from Hebrews chapter 4 and just some tremendous things. Plus, it's a hardback edition. And then we have our study guide, and I have a CD, five-part CD set on this. I have a DVD set that was filmed at one of our Gospel Truth seminars. And then we have our DVDs that are actually taken from our television program. Please listen to our announcer and call or write and receive these materials today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts. The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
I appreciate my background, and I have learned tremendous truths through that. So I am not critical, but I am just saying that I have seen people who have only heard faith and haven't had it balanced with grace, and I have seen those people burn out.